holy crap, like Foreign is so special. And when I said earlier, like it saved my business, I could say it saved my life as well. And so we want to get, you know, 500 plus people there sustained during the event. The big things that's changed for this year, we're still doing, I believe we're doing the same amount of prize money. I think we're doing, we're doing 15K again this year.
This episode is sponsored by Foil Sessions, the foiling app that lets you track all your foiling sports. This is Up on Foil, the podcast for everyone flying just above the surface. Pump, carb, soar, let's foil! This episode is also supported by Surfears, but more on that later.
Welcome to episode number 69 of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. Today, it's with Jason Burton, and you are the owner and operator of BOA, the Burton Outdoor Adventures, and the man behind the Atlanta Foil Festival. Is there anything, Jason, that needs to be said right away so people get to know you and know what you're talking about?
No, those are the two big things. Everything else is going to branch off those, but the Atlanta Foil Fest was the big thing, and our business. We just finished our fifth year in business here in Atlanta, and so nice. Business was kind of the platform for launching the Atlanta Foil Fest. But no, those are two big things that keep our plate full.
All right, very cool. We're going to get to know you a little bit more. For those who don't know me, I'm an average foiler. I do pump foiling sometimes. I had the chance to use some foil assist. Tomorrow, I'm going to go on a downwinder with the Parawing. So that's usually what I do. I have a little YouTube channel, Matt on Foil, where I like just show what I'm trying to do. But I'm super excited because I talked to Tom Hartman and he said, last year, the SFT was the first year. It was super nice. And the Atlanta Foil Festival was so cool, such a big event. Also, much more potential to grow even bigger. So I'm excited to talk about that. But as you've said, that the Atlanta Foil Festival came out of that Burton Outdoor Adventures. Maybe we need to start there. And if we start there, maybe you can maybe take even a step further back. Because if you said 5 years, that's not too long. What did you do before? And how did that Burton Outdoor Adventures start?
Yeah. So that's actually a really cool, fun story. I've told a handful of times, but I was a lifelong educator. Wasn't planning on being a teacher. I actually went to college after the military. I got a bachelor's in biology and English. I originally had gone into medical research at the University of Tennessee Medical Center and the Baylor Institute for Immunology Research. But being indoors just wasn't for me. I'm more of an outdoor guy and I like to do things. And I've always had a background in wrestling. And me and my buddies had always joked around about being wrestling coaches and have our kids wrestle each other. And so I dipped my toe into teaching and absolutely fell in love with it, especially the coaching aspect. And I'd done that for a good bit. But probably 10, 15 years into it, I realized that there's obviously some issues with public education and especially me coming from a military background and from a professional setting as far as the lab goes. And so I kind of knew, right away, well, not I shouldn't say right away, but I kind of knew during that, and when I hit that 10, 15 year mark, I can't remember which one or what the time period was, but I just knew that when 30 years come with teaching, I was going to be ready for another career to do something else. I mean, I kind of saw the writing on the wall with, you know, teachers that have been, you know, doing it for 35, 40 years. And there's this big gap. If you do 30 years of, you know, teaching and you graduate, you know, college, you know, 21, 22, like, and you do 30 years from 50 to 64, there's a 12 year gap that most teachers try to fill in with teaching, but they're burn out and they've seen things. So I knew it wasn't for me. And so I had started researching other opportunities for my life. And as far as a job or career, a second career, I should say, some better wording there. And so we had looked at bars. We had looked at what else did we look at? We looked at different franchises. We looked at Orange Theory franchises. So there's a lot of different things. I looked at maybe going back to school and being a physician's assistant because of my medical background from the military. But I ended up settling on what I knew really well at the time was whitewater kayaking. I came from a whitewater kayaking background. Been to Chile, Norway, Canada, literally all over the United States, you know, hucking myself off waterfalls, surfing rivers. It's just, it was the absolute best. And, wow. And so on Lake Lanier, when I said, hey, why don't we do something with kayaking? I literally Googled Lake Lanier and there wasn't a single kayak or paddleboard outfitter on Lake Lanier, which was insane. And so, I have some buddies that had business on Lake Lanier as well. You have to have a letter of permission from the Army Corps to do business on Lake Lanier. And so we filled it out and we got it approved. And, we found this really nice property and started kind of renovating it. And we heard from the Lake Lanier Association and, Bonnie Putney, and she had said, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. You guys are literally the first kayak and paddleboard outfitters on Lake Lanier. The last, you know, project manager of the Army Corps wouldn't approve any recreational stuff. And this is groundbreaking. We were super excited to kind of fill that niche. But even with that, it was interesting working with the Army Corps. And that first year in business, we were running trips all of April and all of May. And literally the week before Memorial Day, I got a call. I was at my son's birthday from my workers saying, hey, they won't let us into the park to drop people off or pick them up. And I was like, well, just show them the letter. It's fine. They're like, well, no, we did. And they're still not letting us in. So there's a big, huge hubbub. And so the Army Corps, who's up in the Gali and other areas, the Army Corps does work recreation very well. But unfortunately, Lake Lanier, it was kind of a new thing. And so we had some road bumps and we eventually worked them out. But that first year, I thought my business was over before I got started. Because I just didn't feel right starting or scheduling people for kayak or paddleboard trips, not knowing if I can drop them off or pick them up if the park closed with the Army Corps. And so I'm at home kind of depressed, you know, trying to figure things out. And I'm watching Riding Giants for the umpteenth time. I don't know. Have you seen that documentary, Riding Giants?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best. I mean, the storytelling, the music. I mean, I love especially the music. And I love that documentary. I've seen it so many times. And for whatever reason, you know, sometimes things happen for a certain reason in your life. And I kind of watch the end where Laird and all them start foiling. And I'm like, that's awesome. I said, I don't want to try that. And I start Googling and I find people pumping on a lake. And this is interesting because everything's going to come full circle. And I'm like, I want to do that. And so I joined these Facebook groups and start asking about it. And somebody replied to me, and I actually have a screenshot. I should have saved it to share of a guy saying, hey, you need to talk to this guy, Brendan Cowell, about e-foils. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about electronic. I'm with nature, man. I want to do this thing on the lake. And I end up getting hooked up with Brendan, who is actually my very, very, very good friend to this day. He's just such a great guy. He reached out to me. He's a Lyft e-foil dealer, and he got me hooked up with Lyft. And I went down to Puerto Rico, got some lessons, and just fell in love with foiling and immediately folded it into our business and literally saved our business doing the lessons. Eventually, we were an affiliate for a while. We're now Atlanta's dealer for Lyft eFoils. And so foiling literally saved my business. I'm so grateful for foiling, the sport in general, and for Lyft and everything. We ended up getting the kayak and paddleboard stuff worked out, so we're still doing that as well. But the foiling was huge. And so now to come back around to your question, I apologize, I'm doing the weave to answer your question. So as a teacher, I was a wrestling coach. And as a wrestling coach, if you run a successful program, it's literally like running a small business. I mean, one of the big things you want to have is fundraising. And most coaches fundraise through tournaments, activities, and sometimes you have some ancillary things that you kind of raise money for your program to grow so you can travel and get better competition, you know, gear, all that stuff. And so I'd been doing that for a while as far as logistics of, you know, putting together a big tournament with, you know, 20 teams, 16 man brackets, sometimes 32 man brackets, hospitality room, refs, 8 mats, you know, facilities. I mean, the whole shebang, concessions, you know, t-shirts. And so I was very familiar with that. And I was actually just been e-foiling like the whole time I had been involved with foiling. It's just been e-foiling. I didn't really venture into the other foiling disciplines that much, even though I took a wing foil lesson and loved it. I was focused on, you know, running the business, and I started seeing some pump foil, specifically the beta foil, I'm just in love with that thing. And I started wake foiling, not really pumping yet. And this was probably a year ago, probably a little bit over a year ago this time, I first started wake foiling. And then in January, I had reached out to Devin and Todd at Beta Foil and said, hey, I'm looking to expand my business into more foiling disciplines. And we're going to put a pond in the back of my property so I could do kayak roll classes, paddleboard yoga, pumping, which I realized that I needed to learn. I needed to do that. And I have this whole big spiel about pump foiling. If you're not doing pump foiling, you've got to do pump foiling. If you're doing any type of foil discipline, you've got to do pump foiling.
How was your progression? Because pump foiling is one of the most difficult things to do on a foil, right?
Yeah. Yes and no. We'll talk about the beta and some things that people, that, you know, foil assist, wake foiling, that I think helps out. But I think, like, if you can get through that tough part of learning to pump foil, and I'm not even saying dock, although dock starting is huge. My experience is that the pump foiling has, like, taken me, all my foil disciplines, I do them all. And it proves every single one of them every time I'm out there. I can't speak highly enough about pump foiling. So I'm planning to do this pond to help support and grow my business with kayak roll classes, paddleboard yoga, you know, camps, and of course, little mini e-foil lessons, pump foil lessons as soon as I learn how to do it. And so I reached out to Todd and Devin and I kind of told him my plan. I said, this beta looks absolutely amazing. If you go to their beta channel on YouTube, they have that origin video, which again, I've watched a bazillion times, even though, you know, I'm already kind of waist deep or neck deep in the beta foils now. And I just love the story, you know, being connected to nature, flying, all those things. And for whatever reason, Devin, Todd and I just kind of hit it off. And we kind of took a chance on it and I invested some money and we got some beta foils down here. And I basically, back in February of last year, 2025, I started working on pump foiling. And Devin's been the greatest. He's such a good encourager. Does such a great job with Wake Thief and all of his stuff. He was such a good encourager. And those guys were kind of with me the whole way of me kind of teaching myself. I eventually get it and I'm, you know, building up. But during this time, we have these conversations with Devin and Todd. And I forget it was Devin or Todd, but they were, you know, talking about the frustrations. They thought the beta foil would take off a little bit more than it would. And I agree. I see the genius in it. And it's interesting, the dynamics of foiling, the foil disciplines and pump foiling and free foiling and things like that. But they were saying, like, I just wish somebody, there could be a place where people could try. I said, yeah, that's what we can do with the pond. I said, if I have some beta foils here, I can, once I learn, I can give lessons, people can come try and demo. Because the big thing that I learned, and going back to my origin story with the Lift e-foils, when I went to go get an e-foil, I called at the time Port Royal and said, hey, I'm interested in these e-foils. And they're like, yeah, it's 10-5. I'm like, awesome. So you guys give lessons, demos, how's it work? They go, oh no, we just sell them. And I was like, no, I said, stop it. And I thought I'd gotten some teenager. And so I called back the next day, same story. I called three times in a row and every single time they said, no, no demos, no lessons. We sell them. That's it. I'm like, everybody knows you're not dropping 10-5 on something that you don't even know if you like or do. And so I explained that to Todd and Devin. I said, having a place where people can physically touch it, get on it, try it and do it is huge, because nobody's going to drop, you know, 10 can of EFOIL or, you know, 5,900 on a beta foil unless they can, you know, try it and make sure that they're jiving with it. And so I said to Devin, I said, oh my gosh. I said, I used to do these food truck Friday things at the Lake Lanier Olympic Park up in Gainesville. They had this huge stadium seating. I said, that'd be perfect. We could totally do a festival over there. And I think, you know, we just met each other. So Todd and Devin were like, yeah, Jason, you do that. We'll show up, man. And I don't think they believed it was going to happen. If you ask Todd or Devin, especially I think Devin, I think he was, you know, I'm sure he was optimistic, but we didn't know each other from Adam. We had just met and I have all these crazy ideas and they basically were like, yeah, Jason, you do that. We'll be your first commit. We'll definitely be there. And I just start jamming on it. And I think we started in mid February, March to throw Atlanta Foil Fest together. And it's really one of those things where I think I just got lucky having the kind of logistical background of being a wrestling coach and doing those events and then filling a niche that I think really needed to be filled. I've had so many great relationships with the foiling community. I can't speak enough about just what a great community we have in the foiling world, especially when I compare it to my whitewater kayaking experience and that community as well. Not that one's better than the other one, but foil is definitely, there's some nuances with foiling, which is a lot better. But Todd and Devin were just, they're just absolutely great as far as supporting that. And then once we got everything going with Atlanta Foil Fest, we filled this niche and the community, everybody just poured in. Of course, we put some good amount of prize money out there to try to, you know, turbo.
I saw that, like 15,000.
Yeah, it ended up being 16,000.
Wow, that's
just because
a lot.
we ended up having SFT and FSRL involved in the promotion. So Tom as an SFT, they ran the pump, the Dockstart pump foil and the e-foil competitions.
Yeah.
We had a short track and an enduro, and then FSRL with Billy and Brian, they ran the 1v1, which is the jet ski whip-in, which is just so fun and cool. And of course they did wake foil as well, strap and strapless. And so with that, we want to try to keep things even. And so basically originally we had 15K, and it just made the math easier just to basically we gave Tom, you know, basically $8,000 for his two events, and gave Billy and Brian $8,000 for their events. And they kind of, you know, decided on the prize money and things like that.
Did you know that spending time in cold water and wind can cause your ears to slowly grow extra bone, sometimes enough to block them completely? It's called surfer's ear, or exostosis, and it's part of your body's natural protective response. But ear problems aren't only about cold. Warm or polluted water can also lead to swimmer's ear, infection, and inflammation, whether in pools, lakes, or the ocean. Surfears is the original patented earplug from Sweden. It's modular, customizable, and comfortable, designed to seal from water while keeping hearing and balance intact. Sustainably made and trusted by water people worldwide.
But the big thing, despite this prize money, the community, I mean, having just all these studs from around the world in the U.S. that are the best foilers coming. Noah, I mean, Nick Leeson coming. There's just so many people there. You're just like, I mean, Devin and Todd being there. I mean, it was a very special event. And I was, you say cliche things like, oh, I was so humbled to be part of it, to make it. But like, once something like this happens, you understand why people say it is humbling. It very much was, not to be cliche, but it felt very good that I filled this niche that it appears needed to be filled, and people enjoyed it. We did a good job, didn't screw anything major up. We had a couple, you know, hiccups here and there, but nothing that wasn't fixable that day. And just looking forward to growing and making it bigger and better this year. So yeah, there's your long origin story. I told you I could talk.
That's awesome. I'm just like, maybe taking a step back, and I think the most important part for an event like that, or even for your outdoor adventure, for your company, is the place, that lake Lanier. Yeah. And I went on Google Maps to see how it looks. It's an artificial lake, right? A lot of different kind of branches, it looks like.
Yeah.
You can go, if we talk about free foiling, the thing that Todd really wants with this beta foil, you can really kind of hike all over the place. How lucky are you, or were you, to have such a place?
Yeah, so the free form thing, and again, it's a journey, and like I'm just now getting to the point where my limiting factor is no longer my balance, it's my legs. And so getting that endurance and actually doing some free fall sessions out here is possible now. Now the north side of the lake is the best place for that. There's a park called Three Rivers Park, which I plan on mapping. There's a lot of islands out there to do some island hopping. And that's the place to do free flowing, is kind of north of Browns Bridge. South of Browns Bridge is kind of like what they call South Lake Lanier, which is super busy. Got a lot of crazy stuff going on there. We actually had one of my really good friends, who's a wing floor, actually end up passing away. He got hit by a pontoon boat down in the South Lake. Yeah, so definitely free flowing is definitely possible, but the northern lake where you saw those branches getting more narrow, people a little bit more careful. You have more kind of safety up there than kind of that main channel down low. But yeah, the free flowing area here is definitely growing, especially that north part of the lake. Yes, artificial. They built the dam back in the early 1900s, 1950.
Okay.
If I remember, I taught AP environmental science. So I used to teach about the tri-state water wars between Georgia, Alabama, and Florida, and what Lake Lanier Dam has done, and the purpose. The purpose was never for water. It was more for like downstream navigation, recreation, things like that. But yeah, we're definitely lucky to have that lake here in our backyard. Yeah.
It's more Well, it looks from top, from like the bird's eye view, it looks more for, as you said, e-foiling or maybe free foiling. Is it windy as well? Can people do wind sports on that lake as well, or not so much because it's like kind of small branches?
Yeah, no, we actually have the Atlanta wind sports community here. William Fragel, who's a really great winger, or I think he's a wind sailor. They do all. We have a big wind sports group that we all text when the wind's here. So we do get wind here. Today is super windy, but I'm on kid duty and I have a lot of stuff to prep before I got a trip to Florida tomorrow as well. So even though there's wind, I miss it today. So we don't, it's not like Corpus Christi or something like that, where you have consistent wind all the time. Like, we get wind now and then, and when it's there, you got to drop what you're doing and go and get it. And so out of all the disciplines, I would say that wing foiling is definitely my weakest of all the disciplines, just because we don't get consistent wind. But when we do, it's fall and winter when you get to put on your wet, warm gear and stuff like that. So during the summer, we do get some decent days. In those days, we had a couple where it's 70 degrees and breezy. It's just like, it's just heaven, and everybody up there is just like, you know, gushing. So we do have a wind sport community, but again, if we had better wind, it'd be bigger. So yeah.
And then where that event happened at the Lake Lanier Olympic Park, that's more towards the north. And when I zoom in a little bit, there are a lot of like docks and little maybe, I don't know how you even call these tiny boat houses and docks. Yep. Are those all private, or are you allowed to start from them?
Yeah, so likely Lake Lanier Olympic Park has multiple docks for boats to dock, to come visit the park and do things, and do like boatzillas and things like that. But all the docks you see along the shoreline, 99% of them are going to be private docks, unless it's at a park or something like that. But yeah, those are all private docks. And most people respect them. You don't really go to other people's docks to start off. Where I'm at in Alpharetta, I live near a small private lake. And so it's a little bit more community. And so, because I know everybody on this lake, I actually break etiquette. And so we have a boat launch where I'll pump out to what Connie's dock, and I'll pump across the lake to this other guy's dock, and then I'll pump back. And so I know all these people. So I do a lot of dock pirating myself, but I wouldn't do that on Lake Lanier unless I knew who they were on Lake Lanier. And that's the beauty of free foiling, specifically the beta foil, is that you can launch off anything. I have a couple of videos on my Instagram of Lake Kiwi, Lake Jocassee, where I'm, you know, launching off logs, you know, rocks, you know, anything, beach starts. I mean, you name it. Once you get those key critical starts down, free foiling on a lake is just, it's like being a kid again. It's like going out in your backyard and you're exploring the forest for the first time, picking up rocks, trying to find weird insects and stuff. But the free form is just like, it's the best, especially when you can launch off all those different features, water features. So yeah.
How does it look in winter though? Now, is it getting colder? Do they like, does the lake level, does that drop? Does it even freeze or how does that?
Yeah, so Georgia is a weird state, and if you live in Georgia, you know it. There's always this joke about the false winter and false spring. Like, we have these swings in temperature, which is nuts. So like last week during Christmas, it was in the 70s all week, and it was amazing. Wow. I was able to put on a thin wetsuit, no booties, no gloves. Did my e-foil sessions, my pump sessions, had a great time. And then today we got a cold snap. So today I think the high, I think we do have a high of 50, but there's no way it's that now, cause I just was outside, but, it was dropping down to 30 tonight. And so we have these huge, especially during the fall and winter, we have these huge temperature swings of 20 to 30 degrees in Georgia. It's so weird, man. It could be 70 one day, and then the next week it's going to be 40 and 30. So,
so 30 is just below freezing, right?
Yeah. The lake never freezes. Even the small private lake that I live near, that thing never freezes either. The lake level definitely is super low right now. I want to say it's like 6 or 7 feet below full pool. So like all the beaches are pretty exposed. So we're walking through kind of detritus and muck to get out when we're foiling. I've been doing some X practices lately, and then I drag actually at the Mary House Park, I drag a picnic table down to the water for my launch. So I kind of cheat a little bit there. But you know, the shoreline is super compact because it's all the stuff that's usually covered with water. So it's pretty easy to drag it back and forth. So it's pretty neat. But yeah, super low lake level, but no freezing, just crazy temperature swings. So yeah.
All right. That's good. Let's maybe just, because you addressed it a little bit, your own personal pump foiling story. You have kids as well. Do they foil as well? And how is that going as a dad? Because I have kids myself. My oldest is turning 11. And we just started now with a little foil scoot, homemade foil scoot. And that helps a lot. How is your teaching the kids going? Are they interested at all?
Oh, absolutely. So I just funny because I share with them probably more than I should. And I forget on one of the pump foiling groups on Facebook, somebody, you know, everybody, my kid's 10 or 11 and youngest kid to pump foil for a minute or something like that. And so I think the youngest one was either 8 or 9 and my son is 7 and I go, Walker, I said, the new youngest kid's 8 o'clock. If you do it. And so it's like, yeah, I want to be the youngest. And so, but they don't right now, they don't necessarily have the dexterity. They love being on the e-foil. They go on the e-foil with me. I've actually put them on there, you know, on the one setting and let them kind of poot around. They don't get up on foil. They just kind of use it as a little mini Zodiac. Yep. But the pump foiling, Walker did some gliding with me one day, but, he doesn't have the physical strength. I'm going to do what you're doing, which is the scooter. I'm going to be getting a scooter in pretty soon. There's going to be some exciting things coming down the pipe in 2026 for foiling and a lot of different areas. And the scoot pump's going to be one of those. Both my kids, we go to a skate park where they roller skate, and they also have their little scooters while I skateboard and stuff. And so they're very comfortable with the scooter. And I really think that's going to be a game changer with the scooter pump. And so I'm going to get them on that. And I think they're going to pick it up quick. And so how are your kids doing on the, do you get them on the scooter pump? Are they getting it pretty good?
Yes. Well, the oldest, he went with the regular pump foil. He always went on his knees, but he was scared of standing up because maybe I told like dangerous stories too much, because I really think it can be dangerous. Yeah. So I said maybe a little too much that he needs to take care. So now with the foil scoot, he's not scared at all because he know as long as he holds on to the handles, nothing can happen. And now he like his longest pump was like 15 seconds, which is already something. Yeah, he can like really make a little turn on the second session. That was, which is super cool. I mean, the progress is just phenomenal, and I think it's really a good tool. Also, my wife, she always said, she wants to try it, but. Yeah, it looks dangerous. And I was like, now we have a foil scoot. How about now? And you're like, well, I kind of have to now. But yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Awesome. I really think for progressing and like getting that scary feeling away, that really helps. Also, he was like, the son was on a foil drive before. Yeah. But just like getting on foil, and as soon as he gets out, he like comes back down and like just feeling the foil and enjoying himself on the foil. I think that really helps. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All the cool things that we kind of have to get on foil is just amazing. Whether it's the foil assist, the pump scoot, the beta foil, the traditional single mast foil, I mean, foil assist with foil drive or lift X or Duotone has their new waist pack. But it's just like foiling is awesome. And it is like blowing up at the right time. It's like, once people understand like the stoke that flying above the water gives you, there's like no excuse. Like there is a product out for somebody to get started to make it. I mean, to me, it's accessibility. Like the reality is not everybody has this grinder mentality. Some people want things more accessible and easier, which is where I think the foil kind of helps people get over that hump. It's just the reality of it. We have a different society now where, you know, with the internet and social media, everybody wants everything quick now, and the lack of patience, I think unfortunately translates to our activities where people just want, and I see it with my son. Like I tell my son to be easy on himself. Like he expects to get everything like the first time. Yeah. Like, buddy, don't be so hard on yourself. But that's kind of like, that's everybody, you know what I mean? So it's an exciting time for foiling for sure.
You said before that foiling helped save your business even.
Oh yeah.
How so?
Save my business. I can even make the argument to save my life if I can go that, if I can be super dramatic. But save my business simply because, a lot of things. Without getting too into the weeds with financials and stuff like that, like if you think about my kayak and paddleboard business, it's a very slow growth and the margins aren't super huge. I had a lot of the gear starting out and the experience and had to get some more stuff. So the startup cost wasn't huge, but it wasn't small either. And so to kind of get your return on your investment, it's going to take a while. And so getting the word out and finding your niche person for kayaking, paddleboarding is interesting because our customer base is somebody that maybe lives in an apartment or a townhouse. Maybe they don't have a house to store a kayak or paddleboard. Yep. Maybe they don't have a truck to transport it. Maybe they're elderly and they can't lift it up above their head. Maybe they just can't afford a $500-$600 kayak, but they want to get outside and be active. And so there's this interesting kind of demographic that we try to reach. We were reaching them and growing. And I'm sure we would have been just fine, but I think the growth would have been a lot slower if foiling hadn't came across. Because again, when you see somebody foiling, everybody's like, yeah. What is that? Is that Marty McFly from Back to the Future? And,
exactly,
and so it brings so much attention. And so the attention it brought to my business is the first way it saved it. The second way is just financially. The margins on what we're able to charge industry-wise for lessons and for sales and stuff like that, the financials behind that really helped out my business as far as allowing me to retire early. That's the other thing I didn't mention in the kind of the background story. Is that, you know, especially after COVID and teaching, I really couldn't look myself. I don't want to be so dramatic, but after COVID and the teaching experience of COVID, I knew that I couldn't stay in teaching. It was overwhelming, you know, kind of some experiences I had. And again, I know there's a lot of really great teachers out there that struggled during COVID like I did. The story that I tell people of you know, the reason why, you know, foiling saved not only my business, but allow me to retire early and to put all my efforts into foiling, which was huge. This might be an edit or a blooper. But the foiling really, I mean, just really saved my business on multiple levels. But back to the story of COVID. So when COVID happened, you know, that if you remember that spring, they sent everybody home and we had the summer of COVID, and then we came back in the fall, and here in Georgia, as most places, they said, hey, we're doing remote learning at least for the first quarter. Let's prep and get this ready. These are expectations, blah, 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 blah. And so we're doing all this prep, like our pre-planning period is really shortened. And it was a mad dash to get remote learning up and running, get teachers fluent and, you know, set expectations. And, you know, me with my military background, and I'm coming from a professional background. I do what I'm supposed to do. I hold the line. And so, you know, we start doing this, and I teach, you know, AP Verbal Science, AP Bio. I also teach Outdoor Ed. I had a pretty cool little schedule. And I've been at the school for a long time, so I had a good relationship with the kids and, you know, older siblings and things like that. So we start doing online education, and, you know, kids would sign in and their screen would be blank. And I'd go, Billy, turn on your phone. And he'd turn it on, and he's laying in bed with his phone. I'm like, Billy, get out of bed. I'm gonna kick you out and mark you absent. So he gets out of bed, gets to his computer, and it took like a week or so to get everybody, you know, whipped into shape. But, you know, after a week of getting onto them and, you know, threatening them with, you know, that's what they didn't want to do, is get marked absent and kicked out because then they get in trouble. I kind of got everybody kind of whipped into shape, and, you know, we're doing lectures, and I'm doing full lessons. Like, I'm lecturing, I'm doing the labs and demonstrating, doing all this stuff. And of course, at the end of every class, say, hey, anybody has any questions, you know, feel free to stay after for any clarifications, if you guys need anything, blah, blah, blah. And so I forget what it was, but one day a couple of girls that had an AP Bio stuck after, and they go, Mr. Burr, we just want to say we appreciate what you're doing. I said, yeah, of course, that's what we need to do. It's a tough time. They go, no, I don't think you understand. I go, what do you mean? They go, Mr. Burton, you're like the only one doing this. I go, stop it. I said, what are you talking about?
She goes, really?
Because most teachers, you know, we log in and they say this is a free study time, or they'll give us workbook pages. Like, the most time we spend any one of our classes, like maybe 10 minutes, and then we go. I go, stop it. I said, that's not true. I said, I know these teachers that I teach with. I know these people. And like, I go and look at these girls' schedules, and I saw my colleagues that I know and I like and respect. And they're telling me these stories about, you know, what's going on in the class. And I'm just like, wow, I thought we were better than this. I mean, we're teachers. It's a great responsibility to be a teacher that I took very seriously. And that really just put a dagger in my heart, like, especially people that I had on such high pedestals that I respected so much that were kind of, just letting their guard down. And you saw, and the fallout from education during COVID, we're feeling it today. The kids are so far behind, the culture, at certain schools. And I was at a good school. I wasn't even at an at-risk, you know, like Title I school or something like that. So, that was tough. But, the way, eForeign came in and helped me grow my business, I was able to say, you know what? I love foreign. This is going well. I have an opportunity to retire a little bit early. So I tell people, I joke around, I cheated by retiring early because I had 3 years military experience, which kind of added on. And then I purchased 3 years. So I actually only taught for 24 years. I got 3 years of military, and then I purchased 3 years to retire early to get me to 30 years to kind of get my pension or retirement. And then with that, I kind of have that kind of safety net that I can put all this time and effort into our business now, which has just worked out, you know, tremendously. We, that first year I retired, our business, we doubled, and then we doubled again this year. Again, a lot of that thanks to Atlanta Foil Fest. And again, me having the time and energy to do that, where as a teacher, I had been running this business from 2020 until for 3 years, I ran the business as a full-time teacher and during the summer, which it wasn't easy, but you know, I made it work. But having that time to really devote all my time to the business and a Foiling has paid off tremendously. And I have so much respect for small business owners. Like, just the lens I look at the world at now. I mean, I used to look at the world through a teaching and learning lens and a little research. Now, like, I go into small businesses and I watch and see how people do things and like watch, oh, they need to do that. Or, oh, I need to do that. Or it's interesting. It's an interesting journey.
It looks like a lot of risk, but it's great to have that kind of safety net. If I look at your website, yes, you have that kayak paddleboard rentals, probably classes as well. And then we have the eFoil lessons, sales. So it's gone pretty broad or broader, which probably is pretty good. Then you decided to do that foil festival. Was that due to talking to Devin and Todd, or did you have that in mind earlier already to do something like that?
And that's the crazy thing. Like, I have so many great, I mean, again, I love the foreign community. I have so many great friends out there, but no, that's the crazy thing. Like, you meet certain people for a reason and you have interactions and it's amazing. But I kicked myself in the butt going, why didn't I think about this before? Cause it seems like, I did fundraising for my wrestling teams. Like, and so I can't believe I didn't think about doing it, but 100%, if Todd or Devin hadn't brought that up, I don't know. I mean, hopefully maybe I would have thought of it. But 100%, it was from the beta conversations that I ended up doing that. Which again, I kicked myself in the butt going, I can't believe I didn't think about that like earlier on. When I was teaching, I should have thought the idea of doing a festival or something like that. I kicked myself. But yeah.
So that was the first year. You said the different like sections, e-foiling, wake foiling, and then this endurance and the dog start races. And yep. I mostly dock start due to the lack of wind here. Yeah. And I saw that on those docks, you had these slots to put mast in. That is fucking amazing, man. That is cool. Was that your idea?
Somebody else appreciates it.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Because yes, the docks are always difficult. People like to start differently, but these slots, that's perfect. You can go from both sides, so regular or goofy. Yes.
Yeah.
How did you like? Because did you need to like find a carpenter to do that, or was like I want that because that's going to change a lot?
Yeah. So you hit on something really cool talking point. So we had three different sponsors from dock companies at Atlanta Foil Fest. We had Southeastern Dock Supply Company, we had Lighthouse, and what was the other one? I'll remember it in a moment, but they all were great. Colleen at Southeast Dock Supply, she's just the absolute best. And we were working with them because I knew we had to have a place to launch off docks. And I said, you know, what I'd really like to do, and I don't know if this is possible, could we maybe create a runway slot? And she ended up hooking me up with this guy, Shay, who's up in North Georgia, and he ended up designing it. It's a custom dock. And basically you have these slots that you can pull out the decking, and that exposes the slots. You can basically thread your foil in there, walk around it, and boom, and you're off and running. And so the good thing about that is it was a hit. People loved it. The bad thing is whenever you are a risk taker and trail braze, there's going to be mistakes. And so the big feedback we got from the festival is that they were too close together. I thought I'd given enough space, but you'll kind of see in some of the launches, they'll go off. And, you know, when you first pump, you kind of go left to right a little bit before you get your thing. And so people were kind of, especially when you got those high aspect foils, people were kind of tinging each other. So we could only really, I had it set up to launch four at a time, but with the spacing, I think we're launching two at a time, which ended up working out just fine. And we still have that dock, still use it. It's great. But the amazing thing that came from this, which really gets me excited, is the owner from Lighthouse Marine, who works with Colleen at Southeast Dock Supply Company. They basically supply all the dock companies here in the Lake Mirror area. They were just taken by the whole event. They thought it was great. And these are non-industry people, understand. This is why this is, to me, so big. They're non-industry people. He goes, doesn't say anything to me. He goes out and gets a patent lawyer. He starts working with Connect-A-Dock, which is a $1 billion company with reaches all over the world. Starts working on a patent for a Connect-A-Dock foil launcher. And so he starts working on this. Contacts me about two months ago or so. He goes, Jason, I've been keeping this under wraps, but I got the patent approved. And he basically told me all the stuff he's been doing since the foil fest. He goes, Connect-A-Dock is super excited. They sent me all this gear for free and told me to start tooling around with it. We got a prototype. We want you to come check it out. Let's get some feedback and do that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so then John Drelling from Slingshot, who's down in Orlando, him and I were really talking about some pump foiling stuff as well. He comes up. And so we go out and meet them, and if you want, I can actually pull up photos really quick and kind of show you some of the photos. Am I able to do that? You want to do that or no?
Sure. Yeah. Let's go.
Right, so while I'm talking, I'll pull that up. So John comes down and we do like this whole beta test on it. No pun intended. Beta test. We're doing a test on it, and we tested two different heights, and the bigger height is going to be better. We had a 10 inch and I think a 16 inch. The 10 inch was kind of too low to the ground. Or to the water level, the 16 inch was was absolutely perfect. And so we did some testing and I ended up giving them a foil, and now they're taken around to boat shows. And so it's just a very exciting thing that we have non-industry folks seeing the genius in foiling and supporting us. And so the Connect-A-Dock launching is going to be coming in 2026, and it's going to be available for purchase. And again, the big thing is it's modular. So you can make it as big or as small as you want. So it can be an easy add-on to people's existing docks. So you have a dock launcher there for events like mine or other events. You can do that for dock start foiling clubs. You know what I mean? You can do it as that as well. So it's absolutely the future is just amazing. So I'm going to find. Isn't there like albums that people shared with me? I know I have that. Oh, foil. Oh, there it is. All right. So how do I share? Share.
You can share screen or part of your screen if you want.
Do screen. And they'll let me choose it. There it is. Share. All right. Can you see that okay?
Yes. No. There it is. Yes, I can. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. So this is again with Connect-A-Dock with Lighthouse Marines. They got the we got the patch. So that's John doing the slingshot. So we tested the beta and a single mass slingshot on it. So that's the Connect-A-Dock right there. So again, you can make, we also already talked about, can you see my mouse okay on here?
So
we did this and we kind of like that runway. We'd like maybe another foot or so. So no problem. We can remove, they're working on removing this to make it even more modular. So it's modular as far as size and also the length of your runway. So there's going to be a way you can remove this as well to make a longer runway if you want it, or you can just take a 2 or 3 step runway. So there's just going to be modular every way you can think of. And so this is the 16 incher. This is the one that we thought worked the best. I think most people, I know Katrine Colo would agree with me. Like when she came to Atlanta Foil Fest, she wanted a higher launch off.
Yeah,
a higher launch off. I mean, just being able to stay high up on foil to kind of get your grips and start pumping.
Yeah. You have a little more time too. Yeah.
I can do a low start. But I just know I got to jump and get that mast up a little bit quicker than a high. So this high one, I think, is the best one, user-friendly. This one, the one in the background that was the 10-incher, to me, that was more for advanced folks. And again, with the market being what it is, you know, foreign is not a huge, it's not the NFL or NBA. So there's really no reason to make two of these. The market just wouldn't be able to handle it. So I think they're going to look at producing the 16-inchers, which advanced or beginners are going to be able to use.
That's so cool, super exciting.
So yeah, these are just all the different pictures. I think there should be some videos of us pumping around. But yeah, there's me and John just kind of looking. So this is the owner of Lighthouse Marine. He's the one that did everything. Just Chris, super stud, awesome guy. Again, just very excited.
He looks right super stable, huh? He looks like a big guy and it doesn't tilt too much, yeah.
No, yeah. So that's what I'm trying to – I want to show you video of – there's the beta of us launching off of it. And the beta fits under there just perfect. The double mast or single mast both works on this. Obviously, the single mast, you can pull all the way back the double mast. And so they went sideways. You couldn't really see, but – the dock moves a little bit, but not that much. Very stable. Here's John doing the single.
Oh, but that's super cool. Like that slot is really nice. Yeah.
So, again, the big excitement is, you know, giving people, I'm going to stop presenting. Where's my stop? The big thing, my thoughts on it is the fact that we're getting behind our sport. And again, I've had conversations and it's interesting because you see the goodness. I see the goodness in it as well. There's some people that think that the dock doesn't really matter. I think it does. I think everybody's different. So there's some folks that poo poo on the scooter pump. You know what I mean? Again, the scooter pump's not,
which I understand, honestly.
Well, but again, we have to understand that not everybody is us. And I've been very, when you say you're humbled by things like the Atlanta Foil Fest, it really has changed my mindset and really is humbling. And I realize that when you're putting on an event like this and you're dealing with so many different people, so many things, you really have to be more open and more tolerant of things, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I don't know if tolerant is the right word, but to understand that like the scooter pump, and I tried it. It wasn't for me. But I see
it is difficult.
And I have nothing against that. You should do it. And to me, the dock is the same thing. I personally like the dock and not being able to have to bend over awkwardly to make sure to know that my foil is going to be completely unimpeded going is great versus let me scoot it underneath the dock, make sure I don't bring it up or down too high to hit, you know what I mean? And so I see the genius in the dock and I think it's going to be great. I just, hope we're able to market it with like a whole foiling gear. Like I want to have like somebody like a dock starter kit where you get the dock starter.
You get the dock with it. That's funny.
Foiling kit with a board and a foil and stuff like that. So to me, that would be the beautiful thing, but very excited. Some beautiful things came out of Atlanta Foil Fest. And this is one of these things that came out. And so I'm super excited to have Connect a Dock. I'm excited about foiling and that they're literally producing a dock for our community. And this is huge. And by the way, I told you, this is like my first podcast. You're like this is kind of like an announcement. Like the only people that know about this are like everybody here in Atlanta and a few of my business partners and friends like that. So this is like the official, it's out. Get ready, folks.
There's perfect. Gonna be a- that is awesome. Where can people find it though?
I'm sorry.
Where can people find it? Can they find it on your website or how do you?
It's still in production. So that's the little asterisk I'll put there coming in 2026. So they're still working on as I mentioned before, the other insert to make the launch pad longer.
Yeah.
Right now they're taking around to boat shows to gather interest. And there seems to be a lot of interest out there. Chris is very excited about it. And so, yeah, we just got to make a few more iterations and to get it locked in. And then once it's locked in, they're going to start producing them. The big thing is the price point. That's the other hiccup that we're working on right now is we're trying to figure out the decking material that's going to go in between the connector dock and the fasteners. We're trying to keep the cost down as low as possible to make sure this is something that can take off. So they're just working on those different things, design and cost iterations. And then once that's locked in, it'll be available. And
you guys, you're probably going to show it on your Instagram as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think I did a story on it just to give people a preview. But the big thing is, you know, conversations with Connie and Chris is we don't want people to get too excited. Like, people know about it. And I put it on my Instagram, but I'm not promoting it yet, 'cause there's nothing anybody
out yet, purchase
it yet. So as soon as we get it rocking and rolling, we'll have a purchase link, obviously, on my website. Connected Dock will, it'll be part of Atlanta Foil Fest. It'll be a very big sponsor and help for our event and for the community in general. So super, super excited about it. So yeah.
Let's talk about the next event, because I found online that the next event, the date is already set. It's June 12th to 14th, 2026. Yep. People can already register. How big was it last year? How big is it going to be this year? Is it going to be anything different? Is it going to be better? Bigger?
Better, hopefully, yeah. So so last year, my goal was a very big goal, I was told. They told me not to get my hopes up. But my goal is I wanted to get 500 people there sustained. We didn't quite reach that. I want to say in one day, I think the max people we had of different people there was between 300 and 350. Sustained was around 100, 150, which, again, is still great. I mean, again, everybody was super happy with the outcome. I hold myself to a higher standard at times, so I tend to be harder on myself. But from all accounts, from all the vendors, everybody was very happy with the attendance. I obviously want it to be as big as possible. The whole purpose is to create a marketplace so we can sell our gear to support our sport, to grow the sport, to get the youth involved. I have these three goals that I set out to everybody for the Atlanta Foil Fest. So the more people we can get there, the better it's going to be. So our goal this year is to hopefully, I still have that goal of 500 until I make it. I'm keeping it at 500. And so we want to get, 500 plus people there sustained, during the event. The big things that's changed for this year, we're still doing, I believe we're doing the same amount of prize money. I think we're doing 15K again this year. We added the extra 1,000, just based on what was going on with the two promotions. Yep. And the budget was looking decent. The first year, I went in with expectations that this was an investment. I was hoping to break even and not, lose my butt. But if I did lose a little bit of money, I expected that as a long-term investment.
Sure.
And so, with all that stuff, we were able to add another 1,000. But this year, we got a lot of good feedback from the event. And unfortunately, I love Tom to death, and Karen SFT as well as FSRL, Billy and Brian. But again, having two different promotions was tough. A, with the prize money, and B, with logistics, with branding of SFT versus SFRL, putting the buoys out there and stuff like that. It was a bit much. And so I kind of had made the decision, like, literally during the event, like, next year, I think we can only have one promotion. And again, that's one of the things you learn. Again, that's one of the hiccups that probably nobody really noticed, or people may have noticed a little bit. But we were able to fix things and make sure everything move smoothly. So this year, the big change, we're just going to have one promotion, which is going to be FSRL. We are looking to partner with SFT for another event. And so I'm talking to Tom and Karen about that. We're still kind of working out the deets on that. FSRL is going to be the main sponsor running, and we're going to simplify it. Just like as a teacher, like whenever I had a lesson or a lab, sometimes I would plan a little bit too much and I'd run out of class time. And I did the same thing with the event. I think we had maybe one or two too many events. And so we're going to simplify the events a little bit. We're going to have pump foil, the 1v1 with FSRL. We're going to have wake. We'll have e-foil, both short and long track. People really love the enduro format. People had a good time with that. And we'll do short format. So we'll have those four. And then we're going to have exhibitions for other stuff. We're going to have a free foil exhibition as well. We had a free foil event planned at the first one, but we couldn't, again, the the market just wasn't there. We didn't have enough people that could pump that far or interest in it. Like we have, it's funny because I like Eden. I don't know if you know Eden very well.
Yeah. He was on the show like 2-3 episodes ago. Yeah,
Eden's the man. I love him. Like, so we actually met in Foil Week in Pensacola when I was doing all my research for Atlanta Foil Fest. And Eden and I, we just hit it off and we've been really good friends ever since. And so I reached out to Eden. I go, Eden, like, so tell me, what do you think about this beta foil? Like, what are you doing? He's like, I just want to go fast. I don't want to go long. And I'm like,
Yeah, he's a kid. Of course he wants to go fast. Endurance is not fast for the young.
He's a young kid. I just love him to death. And so it was the same thing in the Foil Fest. I think Todd and Den were trying to get him and some of the other young good pumpers out there. And they're like, I just want to go fast. And so so we're going to do a free foil exhibition again. We'll do a long format so people can see. We're also going to do – I'm really excited about this, reaching out to all the new – because we have all the different foil assists coming out now. And so we're going to do a foil assist because we didn't get foil drive there last year. I really want foil drive there. We're now a foil drive dealer and school as well. I'm such a proponent of foil assist now, especially with the X and foil drive. It's game changing, amazing stuff. And I know I'm maybe behind the curveball. Everybody's watching this going, duh, Jason, we already knew that. And I'm like, well, I really know it now. So anyway, but we're going to do, when we kind of change venues, I think every day we're going to have a series of an exhibition with foil drive, X, Duotone, and I think Manta, hopefully they'll come. I think they have a foil assist as well. And basically we're going to have a 100-meter dash. So basically it's going to be a cold start, first 50 meters on foil assist. And then once the buoy there, you got to go off power and pump the rest of the way.
Nice.
We're going to keep it simple. No turning or anything like that. I think it's going to be interesting. I think, I kind of have my own predictions about what's going to happen, but it's just a kind of a way to put a spotlight on foil assist. We don't necessarily have, huge waves. We can do some wake thieving behind wake boats. Unlike Lanier, which I tend to do with my ex sometimes. And obviously you can work on pumping with it as well, with that or the foil drive. But we're going to have that foil assist kind of exhibition each day where hopefully these companies are going to send one of their team riders or the best rider to compete, each day. And we'll kind of have points at the end of the competition. We'll say, we'll give them an award for the foil assist champion. You know what I mean? Not saying it's the best product, but just the foil assist champion for the Atlanta Foil Fest. So, so basically we're gonna have, four events, exhibitions, one promotion this year rather than two, kind of streamline the logistics, make it run a little bit smoother. And we'll have $15K in prize money again. And I think that's most, we're going to have more family friendly things. We understand the burden on parents and stuff. So we're going to have like bouncy houses and some other activities for people to do on the side and stuff like that. We want to make it more more welcoming, for families because we want people to get their eyes on it. Like, it's funny because people say that I'm I hate saying this, but people say, yeah, I'm a good salesman. And I'm just I kind of wince at it because, you think of the connotation with salesman. But I guess I'm a good salesman. I'm a good salesman for things.
You're
that
charismatic,
I love.
Charismatic, man. That's what it is.
I appreciate that. But foiling is just like, I could sell foiling all day, man. It's just the best. I don't know.
I have a podcast about foiling. What do you want, man? It's
I know, right? It's like, I'm pitching the car here. But
I saw on the website that it's not just for athletes. It's also people can test stuff and try out things.
Exactly.
Is that also going to be part of the next year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So thank you very much. So that's the other, I sent an email out to all the vendors from last year, kind of explaining, what we're doing. But one of the other big things is we have basically 32 vendor tents, but only 15 sponsorships. And so the sponsorships are ways for vendors to reach out and get even more exposure than having the booths. And so if you're part of those advertising groups, I'm asking that you sign up and that we have dedicated demo and trial times for your products. And so we want to have more structure with that during the event. So like, for instance, Foil Drive, if they end up being, gold or a platinum sponsor or, Duotone or whoever, Lyft, then I'll say Lyft from 10 to 11 has the dock and they're the only, and then we're going to have their flag out there. Foil Drive's flag is out there. Foil Drive demos and trials are on the dock from 10 to 11 today. Go check it out. And so they have that dedicated thing to get their product out there, get people on it, sell them, get people excited about foiling. So we're definitely having that. So yeah, so when spectators come, we want people to get in the water. I also have another crazy idea of trying to find a clothing vendor to donate clothes. So if somebody comes in and goes, "Oh, I don't have anything to wear," I'm like, "Well, we have our sponsor that makes these great recyclable, you know, shorts or whatever. And like, we got something you can take with you." And so we say, no excuses. You got gear, go get wet, and you have your dries afterwards. So, a lot of work to do, but yeah, we definitely want people out trying to grow the sport, support our businesses. And when we support our businesses and vendors, this is going to support the sport, and we can all do what we want to do, which is live life long with our families and friends. So
it sounded really like that. Also, that you said that you want to make it family friendly. That's super cool. It's from Friday to Sunday. Now, for me, it's too far away to come for a weekend. If I were to come for a week, let's say, maybe you can make a little ad. Why should people come and maybe stay a little longer and visit some things in the area? Maybe you can do a little like tourist guide of the area.
You're the best. By the way, you're setting me up. It's like I like T-ball. I'm just cracking them. So yeah, so, and you reminded me of the other things that we're doing. So yes, so we are part of the package. Once we get all the vendors all set up around February, March, we're gonna start promoting for people to start coming. And part of that is we have the World Cup here in Atlanta, like literally the week afterwards. I think it's Spain. I forget who else is gonna be playing the World Cup. We have the George Aquarium, which is the largest aquarium in the world. We have the Atlanta Braves, the College Football Hall of Fame. We have whitewater rafting just an hour away at the Chattahoochee. So so all that tourist stuff, we're going to make a package to promote people to come here and to make it a family vacation, make it kind of an event of it. Because, the reason for this is that I went over to Dubai for the E4 Racing League event, absolutely amazing. And that's what we did. We made a week of it. And I'm like, this is what we need to do for Atlanta. People just need to come here for a week, sightsee. And Atlanta has a lot of great, attractions. And with World Cup being here, I think that makes it even huge. So I'm really hoping that with World Cup on the tail end of the Atlanta Foil Fest here in Atlanta, that we can really blow this up. I know that we have some really good foilers in Spain that need to come over. So yeah.
All right. Very nice. Also, are you going to like help with housing, hotels and whatnot?
Yeah. So on the deck, we have a listing of the hotels. Last year we ended up doing it during Father's Day weekend, which we didn't really have a choice. And I've actually learned that, Father's Day weekend, I think is like the third or fourth, Sunday in June. And so it's just, I didn't know how they do this either, and so it just kind of fell on that day. Now this next year coming up, it's not Father's Day weekend. And so we will more likely hopefully have some good rates for people with hotels. Last year, we just listed hotels and Airbnb. I did an Airbnb search and gave it to people, to look at. And we provided that for everybody. But hopefully this year we're going to have some partnerships where people can get some good rates, because it's not Father's Day weekend. It is, however, Monday is Flag Day, so hopefully all the Flag Day celebrators don't come rushing into Atlanta to celebrate all their flags and take up all the hotels. So glad you got that joke. Most people don't get that. I joke around going, "Oh, it's Flag Day," and then I've had a couple people go, "Oh, geez, that's another thing." I'm like, I'm joking. It's Flag Day. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who celebrates Flag Day. We have Flag Day here in the United States, but I don't know. I have some flags, but I don't go, "Hey, everybody, let's all get our flags on Monday." And I don't know.
Let's go to Atlanta for Flag Day.
I should educate myself on Flag Day. I don't know.
All right, man. I think we're going to wrap it up here. Is there anything else that you want to tell the world?
No, I mean, the big thing is just, you know, what we've been talking about, just the stoke we have for foiling. The only thing that I would love to talk about more maybe another time, or if anybody is interested, is just what we were talking about with pump foiling and the beta foil. The big clip I would give to anybody thinking about getting a dock starting pump foiling, whether it's a single mass or the double mass beta foiling, is you need to 100% do it. I don't know how, do you follow much longevity stuff online with Peter Attia and all those guys?
Not really.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, new study that's kind of developing, and through their research, as far as longevity, we all want to, you know, be on the planet as long as we can, especially me. I got into fatherhood a little bit late, so I want to be around for my kids and grandkids. is that they have these markers for longevity, how long you can live.
Yeah.
And I've been on this kick lately, especially after seeing Blue Zones. There's this really cool documentary series on Netflix called Blue Zones. And they go around and visit all these locations where they have these abnormal amount of centurions, people that live past 100. And they're like, why is this? And so they go around and they show you all these commonalities. And if you pay attention, there's even more commonalities than they show, which is very interesting. And then you take it a step further with what the studies are doing with longevity. The big indicators for longevity, people that live longer, are high VO2 max, leg mass and muscle and balance. And the foiling does all that. It's so crazy. So the really quick stat that I love to share with folks is, so I started this, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I had done no pump foiling prior to this. I started in February with the beta and like literally taught myself. I was probably weighing, 200, 205 at the time, which is a good, probably 20%, 24% body fat weight for me. Wasn't in the best shape, but wasn't necessarily totally out of shape either. I've been a wrestler, biker, runner. I've been a good athlete. I have a weight room in my house, but hadn't been doing that in probably a year or so, just, doing my kayaking and paddleboarding and foiling and whatnot. Once I started pump foiling, things started changing. I started dropping some weight. I was down to 190. We're going to have the Free Fall Summit. I really started hitting it hard. I dropped down to, I'm at 180 now. Which is nuts. And then I went and got a DEXAFIT body scan and VO2 max test. And that's where I really realized, holy crap, like foiling is so special. And when I said earlier, like it saved my business, I could say it saved my life as well. And this is what I'm talking about as far as longevity. So I went and got my DEXAFIT scan and I was down to, I think, 12%, 12.5% body fat. My VO2 max was a 52 and I'm 52 years old. And so if anybody knows anything about VO2 max, that's absolutely bonkers that I have a 52, VO2 max at the age of 52. It's like in the top 1 percentile of the planet. And I'm not an endurance athlete. I don't consider myself a good athlete. I mean, I'm probably an average to above average athlete, just because I have a lot of grit and I don't know when to quit. But, as far as genetics and stuff like that, I was not blessed with genetics like some of my other friends that are just, ripped and shredded. But, man, the fitness aspects of foreigners is huge, and you're having fun the whole time. Like you don't even realize how hard you're working. And like, as we're going through, I was going through this journey of pump foiling, it's just been amazing. So we're going to do, a lot more in the future with pump foiling, with fitness, with longevity, and kind of spread the love, not only foiling as a recreational, sport, but also as a way to stay in shape and to extend your life, man, because the balance, the legs, it's huge. And we have it all with foiling. So that's the only cool thing that I'd mention. Hope I didn't go too far over. Sorry.
No,
man.
That's a lot of things I've heard already. And what I'm just going to do now is I'm going to just tell listeners some links. So first of all, I had a chat with Todd Reichert from Betafoil, episode 61. So if you go back a little bit, you can listen to that. Such an interesting person. Other than foiling as well, really cool guy. Then we have at Atlanta Foil Fest, that's your Instagram, and atlantafoilfest.com, that's your website. Then we have your website let me just take it out here, of the Burton Outdoor Adventures, that's kayaklanier.com.
Yep.
And
you can also do foillanier.com as well. We got, I bought up a bunch of websites, but kayaklanier.com or foillanier.com. So, yeah.
All right. Good. So people can check that out if they want. Other than that, I really thank you, Jason, for coming on the show. I wish you a nice trip. And I'm looking forward to like seeing some great action at your foil festival again.
We got to figure out how to get you to come. That's my next thing, man. I had a great time talking with you. And I love solving problems. We got to figure out a way to get you to the Atlanta Foil Fest and do some podcasts, because there's going to be a ton of people there. We got to talk some more on Instagram and get you to come over and check some stuff out. See if we can't
work it out. Let's talk about it. And all right, all the listeners and viewers, thank you for coming on the show. Maybe rate the podcast, that would help. And see you guys in the next one.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt. It was great.
Perfect. Woo! We'll